All right, so we've got a lot that's going on today. So with everything going on, we're going to, the sermon's going to be a little bit shorter today. Things are going to be a little different, and we will then again, as we've said before, we're going to share a meal together afterward. It's going to celebrate the graduates, and it'll also be our meal for our fundraiser meal for work camp. So really, I want to start out basically by just simply mentioning those that are graduating this year. And so those of you that are seniors that are graduating, if you would go ahead and come up and sit on this front row for just a minute. So if you're graduating, come on up and sit on the front row. Like I said, I'll be giving some more information about each of them. In the meal, I'll get up and share some things that they have marked down and mentioned for me to read, and so we'll have some more information for them there. But I simply want to right now just mention each of them by name so that you know them, and then we've also got these gift Bibles up here that I will give each of you. So as I say your name, come on up and get your Bible, and then let's congratulate them as they come up. So first person is, and this is in no particular order except for alphabetical by last name, so first one up is Sam Henney, so come on up. All right. Next one we got is Maggie Llewellyn. Come on up. We've got two more, so we got Emily Lisa, go ahead and come on up. And then last one we've got is Jordan Potts. So come on up, and we got this for you. All right. If you guys want, you can go ahead and, you can go ahead and sit back down with your family if you want. Or if you don't want to, you can sit there for the rest of the time. It really doesn't matter to me, but you're free to go so you don't sit on the front row if you don't want to. All right, let's congratulate them one more time. I do have to say that I have loved the times that I've, the time that I've had to spend with each of these girls. I met each of them really early on, I believe within the first year of being here for sure. And I'm really proud of their achievements. I'm really proud of the things that they have done. I'm proud of their development in all ways, and particularly in their spiritual development. They are all very special to me, and I'm just really thankful that I have been able to see their spiritual growth and development, and I really do hope to continue to be a part of that from this day on. So also, each of these graduates has asked somebody to speak for them, to share a little bit of information for a couple of minutes. So if that is you, probably a parent, go ahead and come on up and sit on this front pew, and then we'll take turns talking about them. So if you're speaking about your graduates, go ahead and come on up. I'm also speaking for a couple, so I'll go ahead and go first since I'm up here, and then you guys can decide who will go after me. I'm only speaking for Sam and Jordan. Both Sam and Jordan were introduced to our youth group as friends of Emily, and now they've become friends of all of us, and so I am honored to be able to speak for each of them. Sam, the first time I met Sam was actually my very first Winterfest here too, so that was only been about 8 months after I had moved here, is when I met Sam at Winterfest, and she has been a dedicated Winterfester to everyone since then. And it's always been a good time. It's really hard for me to pin down exactly what it is. Sam is one of those people, though, that brings any room that she walks into, she's going to bring a smile. She walks in with a smile, and everybody else is going to be smiling. She's just that kind of person, and that's a really good trait to have. And because of that, I'm very glad that I can call her my friend now. And she's one of those that anytime she is going to send a text or a call or anything, you know that it's always going to be great because she's always got either something funny to say, something to share, or she's going to be saying something that's really encouraging. That's one of the things that she's always been for me, and I know other people. She's always been a very encouraging person. it seems like sometimes those texts or those calls actually come in right at the time when you need it most. Saying something that will lighten the mood, or saying something that's really meaningful that you need at that time. Sam, you know that you're hilarious and crazy and fun. But you also know that I say that there's a lot, we talked about this recently, there's a lot more than that also. Everything that you do it with a passion. You have a strong passion in everything that you do in your life. And that includes your relationships with people, that includes your relationship with God. And that's one thing that's been really encouraging to me. You have encouraged me because of that passion that you have, especially in your spiritual life and the things that you do and the things that you've shared about your relationship with God. It's always been passionate, and that's really been an encouragement to me. So I thank you for that. Because of that passion, I know that you've been an impact on peers that are your age, people that are older, and you've been an impact on those that are younger. As you've taught others that have been younger than you, and I think that includes your sister for sure. You are somebody who does make an impact on the people that are around you. I know that God is going to do amazing things through you, and so I'm really excited to see that. I am very thankful for all of our memories, and I'm willing to admit that you're probably a better Britney Spears than I am, and that's probably okay, but again, congratulations, Sam. You definitely deserve to be honored today. Jordan, I think that I met Jordan is actually, the first time was at a lock-in. Emily brought you to a lock-in that we had here at the building. And besides the fact that you were just a lot of fun to be around, and again, you brought just joy when you showed up, I should have known at that point that I just love the way that you think. Because we had this intense game of charades going on. I have no idea what time it was, but it was pretty late. And I remember that as we were doing charades, I think they got to the point that we were the only ones who had any idea what the other person was doing, and so we just kept getting up, and it only took about 2 seconds, and so then by the end, I think it was probably just the two of us that were actually playing, and everybody else was just sitting there. And so, again, I should have guessed that I would have loved the way that you think at that point, but really, I do love that you are always thinking. I love that you are, as you think, you're always questioning. You're somebody who questions things that with intention. You want to learn, you want to grow, you want to seek things, and that's a great trait to have. You have made me look at things differently, and I'm very thankful for that. The fact that you were so open, and by open I mean a couple of things. You were very honest with people, which I think is great, and you're also open in that you always want to help people. You're very helpful. You step in and encourage, but then you step in, whatever's needed, you're willing to help people out. And so that is a thing that not everybody can say. And so I really appreciate that about you. The thing that I would say for you as you leave is don't lose your questioning mind. I feel like any time that we get to the point that we feel like we've got everything figured out, then we know that there's a problem. And so don't ever stop questioning things. Don't stop seeking. You are somebody who seeks for things. And I love that about you. So keep seeking. Keep that questioning mind. I believe that you have a lot to offer communities of faith. And so I'd encourage you to keep doing that, be a part of that, and continue to grow in that. I'm excited about what God's going to do through you. I say thank you again for the fun and the joy that you bring anytime you're around, and also for the impact that you've made on me and the impact that I know that you've made on other people. So congratulations.
Right. This is hard. And Emily, you know, this is your family. We've been coming here 16 years, and and Emily's celebrating a birthday today. So she was 2, and everyone here has helped create and mold the person that Emily is today. So if I forget, thank you for being involved in people's lives and certainly Emily's life and our lives. So I appreciate everything that everyone here does for the church, the body, and for each one of us. You know, as I reflected on what to say today, really there's five things when I'm trying to frame up who Emily is and what she meant. And the first one is energy. She's really energetic, and we realized that the moment that she was born, that she came out and it was a very busy day at the hospital and just very noisy, and the nurses were pulled away and didn't wrap her up in a blanket or anything along those lines. They put her under a warming lamp. I think that is one of the decisions, or that was part of one of the reasons why she chose a requirement to go to school. It needed to be in a warm area. So she is going to Houston as one of her decisions. And then, you know, the energy level continued, and it was apparent that one of the conversations with Tammy McCullough, that Emily used to go and play with Leah, and the feedback that we got is Tammy would give Leah Coke, so her energy level would be up to Coca-Cola, right? Some parents actually need drugs when Emily's around, but just to keep up with Emily. So energetic, and that continues today. The second characteristic is really musical, and being music being a big part of her life. And she picked up percussion in sixth grade, and in high school she really started to blossom and really loved it. And she had the opportunity to actually play a different percussion instrument in marching band all 4 years. And she was the first one to ever actually play four different instruments throughout the high school career. And Emily likes to make up silly little songs, and she sings to the dogs. So you want to demonstrate that? No? Okay. So music is a big part of her life, and she'll continue that in college as well, that she plans on being part of the band there. The third characteristic is really influence. She's had an opportunity to really impact a lot of lives through the things that she's done, and it's really exhibited. I guess one of the recent impacts that she had is she made a friend down in Honduras, Damaris. And Damaris had a birthday a little over a week ago, and she, her and Joel were able to arrange a phone call and talk to Damaris. And they were asking about what was the best thing that she did for her birthday. And the answer back is that I got a phone call from Emily. So really making an impact in her life. She had an opportunity to do chemistry magic shows at some local schools, and students, a little boy came up and said, you know, this is fantastic, I'd like to be a chemist someday. So, you know, there's really just small little things that you wind up doing that impact lives of others. And you really don't know what it is and what triggers that, but you do focus on sort of the small little things. And you can't really see this right here, but this is a picture of a world. And on the back, it says, you are the best dad in the world. Love, Emily. So normally, you probably didn't know I had this, and I really don't keep things, and I actually laminate it. And but it meant a lot to me at the point in time that it was given to me that, you know, this kind of showed that, and put it in school terms, that I think I went from a satisfactory, unsatisfactory type rating to grading scale. So I think I got an A on this day, and it really made me feel good. So the little things really matter in life, and I encourage everyone to continue to do the little things because you don't know how that affects others. And then the fourth quality is leadership. You've got a natural ability to lead others and influence others. It's demonstrated that she took the initiative to create a chemistry club at her school. Her sophomore year became the largest run student organization. She reached out into the community to do chemistry magic shows to impact kids' lives. You know, she got a group, a couple of girlfriends together to, I found myself one evening sitting in the parking lot of Rule 3 that they wanted to take magic, chemistry magic to the streets of Pickerington, and they were setting, they were setting money on fire that wouldn't burn, but just doing demonstrations and engaging others. So just really crazy stuff. But really, you've got very strong leadership skills. It's obviously apparent. We've had several teachers that commented on that, and then just her band peers really gave her the honor of saying that, or voted her to be the next president or a potential future president. So your peers see great things in you as well. And then the last characteristic is really YOLO. You only live once, and this really comes around. We had a big decision on school choice that Emily was really blessed to be able to get into her top two schools. So it was a big decision, and there's actually a big financial difference between the two schools, and this weighed on her for quite some time and really couldn't make a decision. She was away on a band trip, and during the band trip, we get a text message back that she really needed to register for school and make a decision. And she was at the Grand Canyon, they were hiking down a trail, and sure enough, that she finds a fortune from a fortune cookie sitting on a rock right in front of her. And it happens to say, you will soon find new adventure in life. And, you know, she believes this is pointing her to following her dreams. So it's all really about following your dreams and not necessarily a financial decision. And it took me a while to really get that because I'm a financial guy. But I do think, you know, this is the right decision for her to follow the dreams and don't give up on your dreams. So we had a very heart-to-heart decision conversations going on to try to reach this final decision. But I mean, you're living life the way that you should. You know, you only have one life. The best thing that you've done is now you have never-ending life because you've made a very, very big decision in your life and following Jesus and God. So very proud of you. The probably three or four things that we wish for you and we ask you to take with you is continue to follow your dreams. You know, pursue them as much as possible. Expand your circle of influence. That really means engage in the lives of others positively. Continue to build your relationship with God, and share your faith with others. You know, we love you. We're proud of you, and just remember that you are a daughter of God, the only true King. And what that really means is Hakuna Matata, no worries. So congratulations. Thanks.
Boy, Don, that was wonderful. You're right, this is hard. I appreciate so much Justin asking us to come back and share this day for Maggie. She was here from the time she was 7 till almost 17. She grew up here. And so it's a special, special place, special people. So we appreciate so much you inviting us to come back. And Maggie's thrilled with that. I want to try to convey to you how special Maggie is. I hope I can hold it together. 15 years before Maggie was born, Jenny was, we were sitting on the couch one day and she was reading a magazine. And for those of you who are young, it's in print. It's not on a phone or anything like that. And she saw a picture of a little girl and she tore it. Sorry. She tore it out. And she said, boy, little redheaded girl, curly hair, kind of fit the two of us. She said, except much, much prettier. And she said, here she is. Here's my little girl. And I laughed and said, yeah, okay, you know, and kind of brushed it off. And she kept that picture. And I would go back and look at it every once in a while. I don't think she knew that. But I thought, yeah, that would be great. That's my little girl. Another friend of mine, as we were growing up, we were big into rock music and stuff like that. And he always would kid me and say, you're going to have a little Maggie. And I'd say, yeah, sure, okay. And so 15, we had two wonderful kids, boy and a girl, Michael and Michelle. Neither one of them looked anything like the picture. Thankfully, Michael didn't. and so really, time went on and didn't think about it much anymore. And when Jenny was pregnant with Maggie, it was really touch and go. You see, we had lost a child the year before. And so it was a tough pregnancy. She had to stay in bed a lot of that time. And so, you know, we were concerned about it and just gave it over to God. Said, you know, if she's meant to be, she's meant to be. And I'm really convinced that Maggie is meant to be. And that God has some incredible plans for her, because he let us know she was coming 15 years before. She, of course, I didn't know that the day she was born, but it didn't take very long before I saw that little girl. Sorry. Before I saw that little girl, it really took my breath away. And now I've seen her grow up into a young lady. And she really has a heart for God. She much smarter than certainly I am or most in the family, I'll tell you. She's done well in school, incredibly well. And she actually was reminding me one night, not a couple of year or so ago, that things about pre-calculus I had totally forgotten, and she was teaching me. And she had asked me for help, which was funny. But I don't know what God has in store for her. But I know for sure that God has great plans in store for her. I don't know, maybe she'll be the first Church of Christ woman preacher. I don't know. But I know this. I know God let us know a long time in advance that she was coming. I don't know why, but I know for sure that was true. I don't know what Jenny did with the picture, but we have the evidence somewhere, if it's not faded and unable to see it. Maggie has been an incredible kid. Growing up and having to put up with Michael and Michelle both, can tell you, for those of you who know them, especially Michael, what that would be like. But she toughed it out. She always had a smile on her face. She was always making us laugh. She was always smart and curious and fun. But she always had this deep, abiding love for God. From the very beginning, I can remember that. From the very beginning, she always wanted to be at church. She always wanted to be involved. She always talked about God at home, just impromptu. It was always an amazing thing to me. So I know he has great plans for her. And I think, even though it's been a wonderful time watching her grow up, I think the best is yet to come, Maggie. And I think just keeping the faith and looking to God. And, you know, I even to this day, I was reading night before last, there's a thing that they have at her high school that I was doing this because it was on the floor in front of me. It's a book where they have like a senior pictures, and they have little things the seniors said. Kind of a last will and testament thing. And Maggie's And I'm not sure what all she said in there. She made reference to several of her friends and overnights and things like that. But the last thing she said in there was that she would be following God. And I really believe that with all my heart. So I think the best is yet to come. And I'm really excited about that and looking forward to it. Congratulations, sweetie. And thank you again so much for letting us come.
All right. So John Hess, I don't know if you caught it or not, but that was my first attempt at acrostic for Emily. So energetic, musical, influential, leadership, and YOLO. So that's my first attempt at that. And then the last thing I want to do, and being influential is getting people out of their comfort zone. Since it's Emily's birthday, we need to sing happy birthday. And I have no desire to be a song leader, but I'm going to give it a shot. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Emily. Happy birthday to you.
All right, so I'd said that we're going to keep, I'll keep the sermon short, so now I'll probably try to keep it extra short. But remember, after we do this, we'll have our meal together. Before you're dismissed, we'll have a video. I'll talk about that here in a little bit. What I'm about to say in the sermon, though, it's something that I believe is really important for all of us. I think it's something that we can all learn from, but it's also something that's pertinent for our graduates, as they're about to leave home, as they're about to go and seek out new endeavors in life. They're beginning a new life stage. And so I think that this is especially important for them, but it's certainly something we can all learn from wherever we are in our faith journey. We've moved into the book of Acts these last few weeks, particularly the first half of the book of Acts. It's always struck me as something interesting. It's a really intense picture of the relationship that God's relationship to the church, the body of Christ, and how it's connected to the head. I want to look in Acts chapter 1 real quick, starting in the third verse, Acts 1:3. It says, after suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes, and a cloud hid from him their sight. I think there's quite a bit that we can learn from what's being said here. But to think that these are Jesus' very last words that he's saying to his disciple, these are the things that he's saying to his disciples, his students, his friends. He's about to put his work into their hands and he's leaving them. So you would think that what he's saying is really important. The fact that he tells them to go to Jerusalem and stay there, don't leave, that's where you'll receive the Holy Spirit. I think there's a lot to that, but a couple of things I think are significant. Is one, that's the very last place that the disciples are going to want to be right now. They've just spent probably some of the worst few days in their life there recently. That's where they had their Messiah, the one they were following. That's where he was killed and crucified. And so that's the last place they want to go because it's going to be dangerous for them also. One of the other things I think is significant, though, is that he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. until the Holy Spirit comes, and that's when they can then go and spread their wings. Jerusalem ultimately was the city of God. That's where the temple was. That's where God was. God lived there. His dwelling was in the temple in Jerusalem. And so I think it's really symbolic then that he's now saying that his Spirit is going to be in them. It's going to live within his people. Instead of dwelling within the temple, instead of the old way where he was distant and removed, he was in Jerusalem. He's now saying that he's going to be in his people. He's going to give them his Spirit. And so then because of that, wherever they go, he goes. I'm not going to read it right now, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about jars of clay, and we talk about these, we've talked about this before, and a lot of times we think of these jars of clay. In a way, they're, to us, they're kind of like this cardboard box. It's just this ugly box that doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares what the box looks like. People care what's on the inside of the box. They care about what's inside the jars of clay. This jar of clay represents everything that's temporary about us, our flesh. A lot of times we get so caught up with that, that we forget to talk about what's on the inside. I think a lot of times when we read this passage, we think of what's on the inside being the message of God, the message that we take to people. I think that that's part of it, but I think there's a lot more. I think that what's inside is not just the message of God. I think it's God himself. It's not just that we take the message of God to people, but we go out and we take God himself to other people because he lives inside of us. And I think that that's pretty evident whenever you read the rest of the book of 2 Corinthians, and especially through that chapter. The disciples were told to go. We have that exact same command that when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized in him, we say that we're in this all the way. We're told to go. A lot of people, go means go a long distance. We have people that go to Guyana and Honduras and Africa and places. So a lot of people, that's what that means. For a lot of us, though, go, I think... All I think it means is simply go at least far enough that you're outside of yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to go far, but go outside of yourself to where you care enough for other people, that you care for them more than you care about yourself. I read at the beginning in Acts chapter 1 that it says that that after a few days that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of scholars will say that this idea of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not just an event. A lot of times we think of it that way, but it's not just an event, but it's actually a condition. That it's not that we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, but that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit too. And we talk a lot about baptism and its symbolism. It's a death to death, and it's a lot like Jesus' death, but it's also a birth into a new life. If we ever think that baptism is the end all, that that's the summit of our spiritual development in our life, then I think we missed the point of baptism, and we missed the point of the Holy Spirit, and we underestimate him a lot. When you're born, a baby's not, the event of the birth is not the end of it. You've got, the baby is born for a purpose. When we're born into a new life, when we're baptized, it's for a purpose. It's not just that event. It's so that we can then go on and live, so that we can then go into the world and make a difference, so that we can then go and take God into the world around us. Since January, we've been talking about this series called Heaven on Earth. It's been the study of Luke, Acts. In Luke, we saw Jesus do things of heaven on earth. He was fully committed to bringing the things that were of heaven down to earth. Now we're in Acts, and Jesus gives us that same assignment. You get to go and be heaven on earth. And so that's what my message is for our graduates this morning, that you can then, you now have the ability to go and be heaven on earth for the people around you. You have the ability to take God into the world, wherever you go, that you can take his glory with you and that you can change the lives of other people. So as you embark on this new stage of your journey, whatever you do in your life, and it's gonna change a lot. We have ideas of what's gonna happen, but your life will change a lot. Wherever you go, know that you have that ability. Know that you are being blessed to now go and take God into the world around you. Don't get too consumed, like I said, with that cardboard box that's us, that's our flesh, that's the things that are temporary. Don't be too consumed with that cardboard box, those things that don't matter. Instead, be consumed with making a difference. People are truly desperate for the things of God, even if they don't know it. And you have an opportunity to take that to them. You're given the opportunity to make a difference for people. We're going to sing a closing song here in a minute. This time gives you an opportunity to come forward if you feel like you need to. If you feel like you need prayers of the church, if you need just simply care and support from the body of Christ, or if you feel like you're ready to say goodbye to the old ways of life and hello to a new life and you want to be baptized and that make that first step. Whatever you need today, you can come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.